This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. It's 7.36 in the morning, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. And today is going to be an interesting one. What's happening, Noel?
Yeah, so for all of this week, we're going to be looking back at some of the best breakfast grill interviews for the year. So as we know, 2020 goes down in history as the world was upended by COVID-19. So today, we're going to revisit conversations on the grill with industry leaders on how the pandemic has impacted their businesses, from the devastation of retail and hospitality to the windfall gains of glove makers and e-commerce players.
So that's going to be happening later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Stay tuned. In the meantime, we are taking a look at the global energy sector, which was unsurprisingly also upended by the pandemic, in large part due to the massive drops in consumption caused by worldwide lockdowns and travel restrictions. Overall, global energy consumption is estimated to have fallen by 4% on average this year.
And you know what, Lynn, this has a major impact on traditional fossil fuel markets and signals a long-term decline. The Economist Intelligence Unit predicts that the energy consumption will rebound by 2.6% in 2021, though. So something to keep in mind and something to we're going to be talking about right now, actually.
Absolutely. And so for more details on what could be in store for the energy sector in the coming year, we're speaking this morning with Peter Kiernan, lead analyst for energy at the Economist Intelligence Unit. Peter, thank you for joining us. Now, what geopolitical issues will be impacting the energy sector come 2021?
Okay, I think there's two things to watch. The first one is with the new US administration from next year, what will be their policy on Iran and what will be their attitude to renegotiating or returning to the Iranian nuclear deal, which the Trump administration took the US out of? It's too early to tell, of course, what might happen, but there's several scenarios. If there is a quicker return of the US to the deal, plus some kind of renegotiation between the parties, and that leads to a lifting of sanctions, what impact will that have on the oil market? Because there's a lot of Iranian oil that's been withheld from the market. Some of that will eventually come back if sanctions are lifted. However, we don't expect that to happen straight away. It may take until the end of next year, for example, if things go well in terms of negotiations. We just don't know yet. But one thing to watch is what will be the Biden administration's attitude towards Iran and the nuclear deal. The second thing to look at is that next year will be the year where the Glasgow Climate Conference will be held in November. It was postponed from last year because of the coronavirus. And in this conference, countries will be expected to ratchet up ambition on their climate policy, as well as take a stock take of where the global community is heading on climate change policy. By then, the US will be back in the Paris Agreement. And I think 2021 will see quite different dynamics in terms of climate policy compared to the last few years.
What then is your outlook for oil prices? And when will we see a return to 2019 levels, if at all?
Okay, we expect a slight revival in oil prices to an annual average of, say, $47 for Brent, rising to $53 for Brent in 2022. So this year, we're expecting a year-round average of around $42, so a very modest recovery. And that's because the impact on oil demand has been so severe this year that we don't expect to return to consumption levels according to what they were in 2019. We don't expect that to be revisited until around 2023. So there's still, even though there'll be a return to strength in oil demand next year, it won't be strong enough to see a much stronger revival in prices beyond what we're expecting. OPEC has been able to manage oil prices reasonably well since the crisis in March. With the cutbacks, it's been keeping oil prices afloat at above $40. But it would take a very sharp spike in oil consumption to see prices going back over the $50 level next year.
What are the factors driving the consumption of renewable energy in 2021? And where will we see demand pick up most?
Right. Okay. Yes, the experience for renewables in 2020 has been somewhat different compared to oil and coal, especially. We expect this year to show a very modest year-on-year growth, but growth nevertheless. And we expect that to accelerate from 2021 onwards, largely because of lots of different factors. there might have been a temporary hold on new solar and wind projects at the start of the year in many places around the world, but there was still eventually capacity being added. So that led to increasing levels of generation. You've got the policy drivers that are still in place. A lot of countries have renewables targets or carbon pricing schemes or an emissions trading scheme, which has helped insulate renewables from the impacts of these kinds of shocks. And you also have another factor, which is rapidly falling costs of renewables, especially for solar and wind. So you put all these things together and the outlook is still for fairly strong growth. Whether it will be going fast enough to get to where we want to be in terms of the Paris Agreement's long-term aims, I think there needs to be a lot more growth. But I do expect growth to continue next year in terms of capacity, mainly in North America, China, and also in Europe as well. And also, I think we'll start to see more capacity build of renewables in parts of Asia, such as Japan and South Korea.
So what's holding back renewable energy from getting more traction here in Southeast Asia?
Well, there's several reasons for that. It's true that renewables deployment has been lagging in this region compared to most parts of the rest of the world, but I think this is actually about to change. And I base that on some recent developments, such as the Philippines deciding to place a moratorium on building of new coal plants. You have Vietnam, which has built a lot of solar capacity in the last few years and has very ambitious targets for offshore wind capacity as well. And then I think you'll have the flow-on impact of countries in Northeast Asia that have announced these net zero emissions targets as well. But to date, there's been some barriers. One of them have been a lack of a policy framework. Countries do have renewables targets. As IEAN has an aspirational target of 23% of energy consumption comprising of renewables, that probably won't be met. I think that has to be achieved by the early 2020s. But while targets have been set, there hasn't been a lot of follow-up on that in terms of setting up a policy framework to make that happen. There's also been blockages in terms of available financing, so that could change. And in some cases, there's been an unwillingness to challenge the incumbency of fossil fuels, especially for those in the region, which are big producers of coal, like Indonesia, for example. Having said that, I do see that this is about to change, and I expect the next decade to be somewhat different or quite different to what we've seen in the last 10 years.
Peter, I'd like to circle back to your comments about Biden. How do you see his administration influencing global energy policy?
I think it will be a significant influence. You'll have firstly the US returning to the Paris Climate Agreement, so that'll be a big change. Joe Biden has already announced that he will appoint John Kerry, the former Secretary of State, as a climate envoy for his administration. He has very ambitious plans on paper for his administration on climate change and renewables and the energy transition, for example, $2 trillion of spending over 4 years. Domestically, he might be constrained if the Democratic Party is unable to take control of the Senate. And we'll know the result of these two runoff elections in early January, and we'll see what happens there. But even if that is the case, diplomatically, I think the significant shift in climate diplomacy from the US perspective will have a reverberating effect globally, largely because the US is a significant global power. It's a significant economy. It's the second largest emitter. And it also sees that it probably needs to catch up to what other major economies are doing, such as the EU, which is already working out a net zero commitment by 2050. China has pledged carbon neutrality by 2060. So I think it will have a significant global effect, if for no other reason, that some countries that have not taken climate change so seriously will have lost their cover that they were able to take advantage of during the Trump administration. There'll be a lot more exposure, I guess, to what countries are doing. But I expect the dynamics of global climate policy to be quite different next year compared to what we've seen in the last couple of years.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Peter. That was Peter Kiernan, lead analyst for energy at the EIU, giving us a bit of an outlook for the energy sector come 2021. And he made some comments as well about how in the region, renewable energy has, it's been a bit, there's been some reluctance to give up traditional sources of fossil fuel. And I mean, we here in Malaysia are also major oil exporters as well.
Yes, we are. And oil is currently at the $50 mark. It's around, $51, just under $51 this morning. morning. Still down 16% on year to date, but that said, it is much higher than the $40 levels that we're seeing, that we were seeing for a while. And when we talk about renewables, also Petronas also has its own plan, right? We talk about Malaysia, they've also got their net zero carbon emissions plan in the long term. We're seeing a lot of the oil majors starting to get into this, but in the meantime, fossil fuels still preeminently the most important thing here, and we're starting to see that demand and supply curve it's stabilized, and we're starting to see demand come back into play, but still below that 100 million barrel mark that was what the pre-COVID-19 lockdowns were like.
Yeah, so I think the next 5 years is going to be really exciting for the renewable energy sector. Right now in Malaysia, I think looking at the latest numbers, I see 3.5% of electricity generation mix is from renewable energy in Malaysia. And I think we're looking to bump it up to 20% by 2025. That was the earlier target. And in November, the energy ministers of ASEAN countries met, and I think they agreed on a higher target, even 35%. So let's see whether that will really happen. And all this is really just playing into this theme about companies being pressured to observe higher standards in ESG, environment, social and governance, and also the move towards smarter engineering, smarter manufacturing.
Yeah, we'll have to see how this development continues as we move into next year as well. But right now we're about to head into some messages, and up next, diving into Amanah's National Convention with analysis from Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid of the Ilham Centre. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.